Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
your
has been declined.
Your unemployment benefits ran out two weeks ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
Checks left. 2 weeks ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio on this very merry Christmas day, December 25th, 2010. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, one and all. And so are there all those toys that you worked so hard to put together broken? Already? I know. How does that happen? Well, never fear. Unlock Your Wealth Radio is here. Pull yourself away from the Christmas tree and the toys for a bit. Saddle up for our last ride this season and this year. I can't believe it. The season is over, and the year is over, for the radio show at least. We start next season next week. New Year's Day, we're not letting any grass grow under these feet here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. So welcome to the broadcast, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us on this happy holiday. If you are joining us for the first time, thanks so much for joining us. And we broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth radio program each and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of achieving immediate financial wellness today and the dual purpose of creating financial freedom for you and your family tomorrow and into the future. And we do that each and every week, one key at a time, 1 week at a time. And when I say key, I refer to the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series. And we're on our final key for this season, and that is become a voracious reader. And I love this key, and I know you guys that are regular listeners, you're like, yeah, I know you love every key, but every key has so much value. This is a great key because it makes all the others flourish. When you read, the value you get out of reading, forget about just the value of the information you're taking in. But so many great other things happen when you read that you don't even realize. And we're going to talk about all those things coming up in the second hour of our show when we feature this week's key. And I hope you'll be so excited about reading as I am. If there's any one thing I'm grateful for, is my mother's encouraging me to read. She used to, as a big Nancy Drew mystery fan back in the day. And when it was bedtime, she'd holler at my brother and I to go to bed, and it was lights out. But I would be under the covers with my flashlight because I couldn't just stop in the middle of a chapter. You know this. Anybody else that's listened to this show and grown up in my generation and read Nancy Drew or Hardy Boys Mysteries, you know you can't just put it down in the middle of a chapter. And I'm so grateful that my mother never stifled that, never said, turn it off no matter what. She never stifled that hunger and desire to continue to read, and that was so great. I mean, and you know that she walked by the bedroom, and she could see that pink blanket of mine totally glowing with my flashlight, but she never, ever said anything, and so that's something that I'm really grateful for, because I'm always reading, and thank God for Kindles and these e-readers. I'm so excited to have those, because now I can carry a zillion books, and if I get bored of reading one, I could just open up another, and it keeps your spot. And when you read in the bathtub, it's so great, because then your pages don't get all wet and ripply. So we're going to talk about Become a Voracious Reader and why this key has so much value in the second hour. This hour, I'm so excited, we have incredible Minutes on Your Money articles. Oh, my gosh. The stuff is just hitting the fan here at the end of the year. It's amazing. So we're going to talk about why the rich are much richer than you and me, how about mortgage rates and what direction they're going in, what McDonald's is doing, and what is happening to Americans who are earning more, because there's some really provocative things. We've got some other articles, too, that are so interesting. And we're going to look at some of the picks and pans for 2010 on the stock side of things and see what hit and what didn't and what they're saying for 2011. Plus, I'm so excited for our guest today. We have Carla Dennis, and she is going to be joining us. She's our tax Chiquita that's going to talk about the tax hurricane. For those of you who have been regular listeners, you have been hearing a commercial ever since we had Free Publicity Day, because this guy that works with her is unreal, and I loved his energy and enthusiasm and excitement. So all of those people that did the participated in the Free Publicity Day, I've been running the best of those commercials for the rest of the season, and he's the guy that talks about the tax hurricane is coming. Well, she's here, Carla Dennis, and she is going to talk about what you need to know, especially for those of you who are business owners. Oh, my gosh, you are going to get a body slam of epic proportion business-wise if you do not listen to her. It's unbelievable what they're doing, and all these stupid little regulations that they've slipped in all these other bills that's become our tax code, they're totally, it's going to blow you away. Her and I have had some preliminary conversations, and just with some of the press releases and information I've read about her, I know you're going to enjoy our time together on the show with her. So has anyone been paying attention to what's going on in the e-zine? I hope so, because we've got our Millionaire Makeover contest, and we've gotten so many cool entries, and I don't want to stifle the creativity, so we're going to extend it to next week. If you want to receive free financial coaching, well, it's not free. You have to step up and do the work. But if you would like to receive financial coaching, get access, private access to some of our new materials that are not released in the market yet, that are money management tools that will help you create financial freedom faster than anything you've ever seen, you'll get a sneak peek at what goes on behind the scenes here at the Unlock Your Wealth radio program. You'll also receive copies of our books. You'll get a premium subscription to our website at unlockyourwealth.com. So you'll have 24/7 access to all of the vault information, all of the in-depth learning tools that we have, hot sheets, oh, so many things, huge dollar value that we have on all this stuff just for participating, and we'll do one on-air appearance. So we'll make you famous. We'll give you your 15 minutes of fame right here at Unlock Your Wealth Radio. So to be a participant in the Millionaire Makeover competition, just surf over to our website and click on the banner. If you're listening live from our show page, go ahead and sign up in that way and send in your video pleading your case of why you need financial coaching and why you're the best candidate for our show. So I'm so excited about that. Woo, woo, woo. And hopefully that you'll all get your stuff in by the deadline. We've got some good ones lined up. I'm pretty excited about that. And some surprises. So that should be cool for next season. I'm pretty excited about that. For those of you that are regular subscribers to The Easy, you know that the Shorty Awards are coming up, and we've already won Twitter Awards. We've been named one of the top 100 financial experts to listen to and learn from on Twitter, and we won that last year. And this year, we got close last year in the Shorty Awards, but we weren't aware of it. But those of you who are not Twitter subscribers, you've got to sign up for Twitter, because you have to be a Twitter user before the Shorty Awards contest starts. You can't just sign up and vote for somebody. But we want to smoke Susie Orman this year, and we need your help. All of you faithful listeners, our faithful Twitter followers, we can outvote Susie Orman, because for the amount of followers that she has, she got very few votes, and she won. And we need to just come in like the Black Ninja, cloaked, and swoop in and whew, take her off her pedestal. And so that's our goal. It's a fun competition, but we'll be really excited if we can leave our mark and show America what financial money management advice really works and what we're doing here at Unlock Your Wealth Radio to support that. So become a Twitter follower, fan us on Facebook, and make sure that we, when the Shorty Awards announcements start coming out, we'll be hammering you all the time to get your votes in, because we really want to make this happen. And we really want to put our mark on personal finance and money management. So we need your help to do that. And we know how much you enjoy listening to the shows, so we need you to step up and take action and demonstrate the value that you receive by voting for us in the Shorty Awards. I'm all excited about that. If you're not a subscriber to our electronic magazine, you should be, because you're missing out on important stuff, like when our Get Your Money On blog gets posted. If you want real-time information to really help take your game to the next financial level, that's exactly where you want to be. Plus, you, as an Easing subscriber, get this week's trivia question before it goes out on air on Saturday. So that gives you a chance to get ahead of the game, and you could win fabulous prizes. Our Bushido business book comes in, and I've begun my personal finance compendium, and I participate in this book with Brian Tracy and Tom Hopkins and Stephen Covey. And this is all about taking your game to the next level professionally. And our chapter in it is Personal Finance Secrets for Professional Success. And so you could win my new book. It just got landed, literally, on Monday. So I'm so excited to have the book and here. And also, you could win, yes, you can win financial coaching, you can win credit report review, you can also win a subscription, a premium subscription to the website. All you have to do is answer this one simple question. And this week's trivia question is, on the midweek update, we talked about some frugal gifts to give your favorite holiday host or hostess. All you have to do is name one of these gifts that we mention on air. Now, you can win one of three ways. You can call in to win at 1-718-508-9002, or you can chat in to win, and I am flying solo today, so if you are in the chat room, you will have to wait patiently for me to answer you, because I can't talk and type at the same time. I have tried it, and unsuccessfully so. And you can also email in to win at trivia, T-R-I-V-I-A, at uywradio.com. Trivia at uywradio.com. So you have three ways to win, and I am so excited. Well, we have to chat with our sponsors one final time this year, well, several times throughout this broadcast, but Anyway, we will be back with so much more. You are listening to the Happy Holiday version of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your money mentor, saying stay tuned for more. We've got Carla Dennis and her tax hurricane coming up right after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Are you ready for an incredible ride? I am so excited about our next guest, our last Investor's Edge guest for the year. And I couldn't have picked a better one. Thank you very much. Well, actually, I have to say that Elena couldn't have picked a better one. I must defer to our vacationing program director. She picked Carla Dennis, and I am so excited about Carla because she's a scrapper, number one, but number two, she has such proximal information that we need to be aware of. And if this is any kind of impetus to get you to hit the ground running next week before the end of the year, then I have successfully done my job. Early on, growing up amidst the tough, hard scrabble streets of Compton, California, Carla Dennis didn't just dream of something better. She actively sought a way up and out to motivate and move herself beyond settling for the ordinary or accepting peer pressure. Instead, she targeted the extraordinary. And what Carla discovered in herself proved to be a unique talent and aptitude in a realm that usually drives people to fear and dread. And that would be tax code. Tightly directed and focused, working two jobs and paying her own way, Carla earned a master's in taxation. She eventually achieved the high proficiency tax professional designation of licensed enrolled agent. Rigorously tested and approved by the U.S. Treasury, Carla is licensed to tackle the toughest tax issues on behalf of individuals and corporations in all 50 states. Taking the challenge and risk of proprietorship, Carla began a tiny bookkeeping and tax service in 1990. Due to diligence, quality, and service, her firm grew. Larger quarters and more people followed. Cohesive is now a comprehensive tax strategy, accounting, and consulting business, consistently growing and expanding her services to increasingly a national database. Also author of Against the Odds and The Tax Storm, please welcome to the broadcast Carla Dennis.
Welcome to the broadcast, Carla.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Heather. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too. And if there's anything that would be great to wind up this holiday season and get us thinking about next year is to talk about taxes for sure.
Absolutely. It's on everybody's mind. And I get phone calls daily talking about what should I be planning for the remainder of this year to get myself in gear. So this is a great time to talk about taxes.
It is. And, you know, I want to comment for the listeners, if this sounds familiar, one of your team players called in and participated in our free publicity day, and he did such a great job. He was so emphatic with us. There's a massive tech storm, and he was so great. So I've been playing your commercial for your website ever since Free Publicity Day over the summer, just because he did such a great job. So I'm not sure who called in, but I wanted to make sure that he got some brownie points for doing that for you.
Well, we certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, taxes are a funny thing. And, you know, we would never let somebody deliberately knock us off track, but we can always be nudged in the wrong direction. And I feel like our tax system, which is the whole reason why we revolted and created our own country separate from England, with taxes, that we have certainly been nudged in the wrong direction.
I totally agree with you. We definitely, as taxpayers and citizens, have been nudged in the wrong direction when it comes to taxes, and we seem to be going in the direction of more control, more taxes, and just an onslaught of new rules and regulations that we have to follow.
And they come at you from where you least expect it. I like the title of your book, Tax Storm. And what had always had me so interested and my interest piqued was the way your teammate says, you know, there's a massive tax storm coming. Well, I feel like it's been raining on us for a while. What else do we have to look forward to, or I guess at least anticipate, not look forward with anticipation?
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of taxes to look forward to, because what happens, Heather, is a lot of laws are passed, and they're not passed as though they're tax laws. They're passed with other names, such as the health care bill, such as first-time home buyer credit. Within all of those laws, there are additional taxes that are coming in over time, and people really aren't paying attention to them.
Well, what's one way that individuals like you and me, well, I guess not you because you're a tax expert, but individuals can find out how these things are being slipped in?
I just really think it's really keeping our eyes and ears to the grindstone, to read a little bit more about some of these laws that are being passed, and really get in great contact with your tax professional and get on a mailing list that will give you updated information as it's happening. I mean, our taxes are so in the news every day, but I think we as taxpayers shy away from them, and I'm sure rightfully so. But it's just so much information out there. It's just spending a little time getting in tune with what's going on.
I, as a matter of fact, subscribe to the U.S. Treasury's tax update. So whenever there's new news about taxes or changes or upcoming proposals for change, I always get an email. And some stuff's really interesting, and some stuff you're like, seriously?
Exactly, but it gives you a talking point so that you can ask more informed questions and just heighten your level of awareness, because there is a lot going on in our tax arena.
Mm-hmm. What are we, can you name a couple of things that we really need to be watching for right now that we're not aware of that's going to really get us?
Absolutely. And as you know, right now they have that bill in Congress to do the extender law on the Bush tax credits. But whether or not that law happens or doesn't happen, the one thing that we as taxpayers have to really watch out for is going to be the alternative minimum tax. We want to keep a real tight eye on that law and see what's happening with our income in that particular area. And really important for business owners and individuals is that there are some new requirements in regards to needing to report our service transactions with service providers such as our telephone companies, such as if you go and buy stuff from a big retailer for your business. We now have to report that information to IRS. So there's a lot going on in that arena, and if we don't report it, we will be fined for not doing so.
Wow. I wish they wouldn't put so many constraints on the business owner. I mean, I think that just makes stuff, I mean, it's not our business to determine whether or not people are here in this country legally or are paying their taxes. I mean, that's not for us as employers, but yet they're making it our business. And how am I supposed to tell a real green card or from a fake one or a bogus social security number? That's not what I'm in business for. I do workshops and seminars.
You know, and I totally understand that, but they are putting more of the responsibility on the taxpayer, and IRS is anticipating that most business owners aren't going to know what to do, and they're expecting to receive $69 billion in penalties for lack of understanding on behalf of taxpayers.
Wow.
That's, it's
like
really incredible.
Like billions with a B, and boy, that's a lot of money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Boy, that is definitely a lot of money, and it's really overwhelming for the small business owner. It's almost like you need an army of legal people to run your business.
Well, I know, and I just, I mean, raising four boys, I find that for you to have such a wealth of knowledge, you have really made a huge lifelong commitment to this tax issue just to find time to pay attention to all the nuances and the changes.
Yeah, you know, reading the tax code, Heather, is the quiet in my storm. With four sons, I am very busy, so when I get some spare time, I curl up in the corner with my tax code, and it's really peaceful for me. I really enjoy it.
I know, it's funny that some of the driest reading that other people would be like, oh my gosh, I can't even get to that. But I'm like, ooh, financials, passing this way.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like you, and I like the contrarian position. Now, you mentioned the alternative minimum tax, and I don't know that many people understand exactly what that is or how that works. Can you briefly explain that?
Absolutely. The alternative minimum tax is an alternative minimum, which IRS says you're going to pay a minimum tax regardless of how many deductions you have on your tax return. And this has just been something that a lot of us tax professionals have been trying to fight, but it really is a situation where if you have more deductions sometimes on your tax return, you can cause yourself to have to pay alternative minimum tax regardless of how many deductions you have, and really can lose out on some of your deductions as a result of that. So you just really want to be very careful and really kind of plan your taxes out a little bit better so that you don't get caught in that.
So, but what if we don't know what that alternative minimum is? You know, like especially if I'm just starting a new business, I have no idea what my revenues are. Yeah, I have a projection.
Right.
How can I pay attention to that? And what if I don't cash flow for half the year? I mean, I'm going to have some write-downs. I'm still going to be responsible for a certain amount of tax, even if I lost money?
If you lost money, you probably aren't going to be responsible for a certain amount of tax. Absolutely not. But really, it's becoming more incumbent around the taxpayer to really get a tax forecast going. It used to be that individuals only had to worry about their taxes between January and April, but with all of the changes in the law, all of the new additions coming in, the alternative minimum tax changing, really you need to be forecasting where you are about four times a year.
Wow, so at every quarter you want to be taking a look.
You want to take a look every quarter.
Wow. I know that we talk about that in our review, revise, and recommit when it comes to managing our finances and making sure that we're on track with the spending plan that we have set for ourselves. But who knew that we needed to add another layer to that time and spend time looking at our taxes?
Exactly. And I feel most people don't, and this is a huge chunk of money that goes out the door. Oftentimes I sit with taxpayers, and they're quite surprised about the amount of taxes they have to pay. It's not in their spending plan. They haven't planned for it. So then they end up kind of in this panic, needing to come up with money quickly or needing to go on an installment plan, further throwing them in the hole when it comes to their dollars and cents.
Because the IRS doesn't give you cheap interest rates, do they?
No, they do not. IRS does not give you cheap interest rates. And not only is there an interest rate, there's a penalty associated with it as well.
Wow. So I guess, you know, I don't think all of us have time to curl up with the tax code every evening over a glass of sherry and figure out what's changed. How do we ask the right questions to determine if the tax professional we're employing is actually doing their job?
Well, part of it would be, is your tax professional keeping you abreast of changes? If you're working with someone that is constantly giving you email updates, that's a good thing. If they're giving you email updates and also taking the time to call you and let you know how these new laws are going to affect your situation, that's even a better scenario. And I think with where we are in this economy, where we are with the taxes, I think it's really prudent to make sure that that tax professional is having those conversations with you, because taxpayers don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm. And what you don't know can really injure you. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to Uncle Sam. I know I had my run-in with him, and so he's not my favorite relative. And it was when I was when I just was entering the workforce and somebody misreported taxes, and they said refile, and I'm like, but I didn't get paid to be a cheerleader in high school. How could I refile if I never filed?
Right.
So I kind of just blew it off. And then I had to address it when they started seizing assets, and that's when I thought, okay, maybe now I need to pay attention.
Yeah.
So 4 years had passed, and you know there was no innocent until proven guilty. It was like Guinness. You were guilty in spite of your innocence. And even though it happened in another state, I sent them high school transcripts. They still garnished my wages and took the tax.
Right, and that's the one thing that I don't really think taxpayers are quite understanding, is that with the IRS, you are guilty until proven innocent, and you really have to stay on top of your records and really respond when you get those letters in the mail, or I like to call them nasty grams, in the mail. You really need to respond to those, because they will seize your assets. They will levy your bank account or issue a garnishment to your employer. They will even issue garnishments to your customers if you are self-employed.
Oh, and they'll take it through the, like if you are in the electronic payer system for child support, alimony, or separate maintenance.
Right.
They'll take it from there, too.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Very aggressive.
My girlfriend.
Very aggressive.
Her support checks were cut into a fraction of what they should have been because the father of her child was skipping out on Uncle Sam. I mean, he wasn't consistent with her either. But they came after it, and so it's not a joke. You know, you think, oh, it's just another letter. And I like when they print it in a foreign language, making an assumption of your ethnicity, too. I liked that.
Oh, absolutely. It's just amazing what they're doing here, and they have so much control. And I just think that we need to some kind of way get the control back in the hands of the taxpayers because the IRS has a massive amount of control over us. And a lot of taxpayers don't know that they do have some rights. They do have a taxpayer bill of rights.
Mm-hmm. What does that taxpayer bill of rights insure each taxpayer?
It insures each taxpayer an opportunity to be treated in a professional manner and to present their case with the IRS and given the time allotment to do so. And it also offers them the ability to be represented. A lot of taxpayers don't know that they can hire a representative to represent them where they don't even need to communicate with IRS. And so I just think it's so critical for everybody to know that they have a taxpayer bill of rights.
Now, that person, that advocate, is that what they call those enrolled agents or is that something separate?
Yes. You can hire other people to represent you. An attorney can represent you. A CPA licensed in the state can represent you, but an enrolled agent can represent taxpayers in all 50 states and at all levels of the IRS through appeals.
Nice. So they're almost like an attorney in a way.
In a way they are, and enrolled agents do have attorney-client privilege when it comes to representation work.
So even though they're employed by Uncle Sam, they're there to represent you? Would that be a fair assumption?
No. Enrolled agents are not employed by Uncle Sam. Enrolled agents are independent tax professionals who have passed a rigorous exam in order to be licensed through the U.S. Treasury Department, but we solely work on our own. We're not employed by the government.
Okay. So when you say we, are you an enrolled agent?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Great. That's neat. You're the second one I've met. I had one in my real estate class years ago, and he was telling me when I was teaching real estate, he said, that's what I needed to do. I needed to get my enrolled agent. And I thought, that's an awful lot of work. I'm kind of just on the focus I have right now.
It is quite a bit of work. It definitely is.
Yes. Well, your book is pretty exciting to read. Tell us about the 1099-K, as you referred to it, the weapon of mass destruction.
Yes, the 1099-K is a new document that we as taxpayers are going to be faced with here very shortly. And basically what the 1099-K does, IRS realized that there's a lot of online transactions, a lot of transactions that happen in cyberspace that they cannot control, such as people having their websites on the internet and getting paid using PayPal or accepting Visa, MasterCard type of transactions. And so the 1099-K has been set to close the gap between what IRS feels that taxpayers report every year in income versus what they should report in income. So this form, Heather, is going to require all third-party merchant companies such as Visa, MasterCard, American Express, PayPal to report directly to the IRS the total amount, and it's the gross amount of money that they have paid over to us as business owners.
Wow. The gross amount? Not net of state taxes or anything like that, income or not income, but what's that, sales taxes? I mean, all of that gets reported, so now they're counting our taxes as income too?
Absolutely. It is the gross amount. So what is going to happen is it's not going to report separately the sales tax. it's not going to report separately refunds or chargebacks. It is strictly going to be the gross amount reported. So as a business owner, we need to start keeping records that tell us exactly how much money we received from our third-party payers, our merchant accounts.
Wow.
It's going to be very, 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 very interesting. I mean, I really have two main concerns from the very beginning is the fact that the merchants are going to report the gross amount, and that amount is what IRS is going to be looking to be on your tax return. So automatically you're going to start receiving letters from that. So just another burden placed on the business owner and the taxpayer.
So what other way is the IRS going to get us, in addition to the 1099, what else do they, other tricks they have up their sleeves?
Well, another one of the tricks that they have is the expansion of the 1099 miscellaneous form that has to be filed. Now, for every business owner or individual taxpayer that wants to take a tax deduction for anything in excess of $600, we're now required to 1099 everybody, regardless of whether they're a corporation or what their status is. So, for example, I now have to 1099 my cell phone company. If I go to a big retailer and buy office supplies, I have to issue them a 1099. It's
what?
Really gotten out of control.
Why do you have to issue it to them? That doesn't make sense.
I know, but now what they're wanting us to redo is report the amount of payments that we pay to them so that they can, again, track their income from all sources. So a good example would be you're filing your tax returns, you're a business owner, you want to deduct your rent payment for your location, or perhaps you want to deduct your cell phone costs. Now what they're saying to us, this is a service provider to you, depending on who your cell phone carrier is. If you want to take that tax deduction, we want you to 1099 your provider if you pay them more than $600 per year.
Oh, my gosh. My cell phone bill between my husband's international calls and my stepson's data plan is over $600 a month.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
It is really ridiculous, and IRS is guessing that the small business owner on a very cursory scale is going to have to issue at least 200 1099 forms a year.
And when does all this start?
It really starts January 1 because the 1099 filings that are effective in January of 2012 are going to be based on payments in 2011. So what I'm recommending is that all taxpayers get W-9 forms from IRS website and start giving them to individuals in January so that when it comes time to file those 1099s in 2012, you will already have the tax identification number of the individuals that you've paid all throughout 2011.
Okay, so when I walk into Office Max or Staples or Office Depot, I have to hand them a 1099. What do I do? Say, can I speak to the manager?
That's about the size of it. You know, no one has said how this is exactly going to work, but I would venture to guess now that they're going to start posting their tax ID numbers.
That's a scary proposition.
Very scary because, I mean, you think about it, identity theft.
I was just going to say, I'm an identity theft risk management specialist. That's just nuts.
Yes, it's just going to be, it's just going to be another layer of intrusion in our life, you know, more time spent as business owners having to comply with the law. And then
I
if
don't
we don't
have
comply,
time now.
Oh, I understand. I definitely
And I don't
understand.
Have four boys to chase around. I have one part-time.
I do. I have four to chase, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially if they're athletes. They're running fast. You need to be a well-heeled girly, that's for sure.
You know, that's so funny because they do run fast. They play football and they run track. So that is so ironic.
Yeah. Well, but you can handle it, though. You're a kickboxing mama. See, I did my homework. I read your book.
I am a kickboxing mama. That's correct. I actually have my brown belt and training now to get my black belt. And, yeah, it helps keeps me healthy, and it helps me keep those boys in line.
Yeah, really. Because what do you do once they get bigger than you? You got to have something that you can pull out of your sleeve like that. Watch out, or I'll kill you in three moves. So share with us some interesting or quirky taxes, since you've probably memorized the tax code by now, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. There are so many different taxes that most people do not understand. So we have, of course, our sales tax. We have our use tax. We have a tanning tax. If you go to the tanning salon, there's a tax on that. We have now ad valorem taxes. I mean, there are a slew of taxes that most people just don't even realize that they're out there. It's just tons of them.
Wow. You know what I didn't understand was the victory tax.
Yes.
42.
Yes. The victory tax, that's really an interesting thing. That tax came about years ago in 1942. And that was supposed to be a temporary two-year tax that was supposed to be imposed to raise and support money for our armies. But that tax itself has become a direct tax on everybody's labor and has turned into a payroll tax that is assessed on people now. It's just really incredible.
I'm waiting to figure out where the victory is in that.
I know. There is no victory. There is no victory whatsoever.
I just love some of the names of some of this stuff.
It's incredible. And when you really go back in the history of time, you really start to see how all of this got started, you know, all of these taxes, and it just has come about over time. And I put a little bit of that history in my book, although I'm not a big history buff. I just thought it would be interesting for some individuals to really kind of read and really understand how the whole thing got started.
Yes, because, again, that's why I thought we separated from England.
Yes.
It was because of too many taxes. But I could be wrong.
Yes, I know. I think we're starting all over again to become a nation with a lot of taxes.
Yeah, we've followed along in their footsteps. That's for certain.
Yes, history repeats itself, and it certainly has. And even with just over the last 18 months, there's been eight different tax law changes, all called something totally different. So it's just been really incredible, very hard to keep up. And I can only imagine if this is not something that you do on a full-time basis, I don't know how anyone can keep up with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to be the guy that comes up with these names. Like, how much does he get paid to, like, come up with these clever names that people, that's some booze. Victory tax. Yes, that sounds great. Everybody will want to win, right? Everybody likes a good victory.
I know. That's funny.
I don't know. I'm kind of just blown away, especially by some of the things that you talk about in this book. I like how you kind of put the onus on us as taxpayers and voters here when you said you knew it was coming.
Yes. Yes. You knew it was coming. I mean, when you think about it, sometimes if all of this, we're constantly being given something. I mean, I go back to the analogy of a kid. If you constantly spoil a kid, give them everything, no accountability, at some point, you're going to have to come back and be accountable. And so that chapter is really about, you knew it was going to have to happen at some point, where there was going to have to be more control over what was going on with these taxes.
Right. Well, I think of it like when you try to tame a wild animal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sketchy. It doesn't want to come near you, but then you start feeding it. And so the more you feed it, the more it loses its desire to hunt, and it becomes friendly. But then when you stop feeding it, all of a sudden you get bitten.
Exactly.
And they're like, well, wait a minute. So
that's a very good analogy.
Here's the bite, and we don't like it. But my question to the taxpayers are, well, what were you thinking? What were
right.
you thinking was going to happen?
Right. You know, I think that taxpayers and even some of the people in government think that there's an endless pot. I mean, right now in Congress, they're going back and forth on this new bill that they're trying to get passed that is going to cost taxpayers $804 billion if this bill passes. So, and it's going to be in place for 2 years, so it's just kind of like a two-year stopgap. What's going to happen?
Another victory tax?
There's no victory tax, but what's going to happen, Heather, in the third year?
Yeah, because people are going to get hooked on that money. Well, we got to extend it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, there's going to be a correction in the market at some point.
What I don't understand is, you know, when you agree to accept something from someone else, or specifically the government, I mean, there is no free lunch. At some point, something's going to happen. So if you ultimately have to pay with something, at what point do we say, I'd rather have this on my own terms than have to take what the government gives me and not have choice?
Exactly.
I mean, I think about an experience, a specific experience with the fabulous government health care. And I went to assist one of my coaching clients, and it was regarding health care, and they were on Medicare, but they wanted to go get this special program put out by the Mayo Clinic, and the Mayo Clinic says you're not eligible because you're on Medicare. And this person says, well, I have plenty of money, I'll just pay cash. And they said, but if you're on Medicare, you can't pay cash. And I said, okay, well, forget that we told you that this person is on Medicare. And then they said, well, we can't, because once we put your name in the database, it's going to come up that you're on Medicare. So even though this person has the means to go outside the system to take a particular health care choice that they want to do some CEO special exam where they run all these great tests and stuff. And because this person accepted, because they had to, the government health care because of their age, that all of a sudden they lost all their choice.
Exactly. It is just, it's really, really out of control. I don't know what the answer to this whole health care thing is. And I read in a paper today that they've even said that possibly the health care bill that has just recently passed may be unconstitutional. There's so much that I think is gone wrong that really it does have to go back to the choice. I mean, we need to make our choices, and choices should be on an individualized basis. To come up with this type of health care plan where people are locked in and they can't get out is ridiculous. I just think it's ridiculous.
It is, and the more we keep asking the government to fix stuff, the more strings that are going to be tied to it.
Right.
You can't have somebody fix something and not pay the pauper.
Right.
They're going to want to cash in at some point. They want their value back for doing that service for you, and it just would make, you know, and my thoughts, you know, and I'm pretty callous, but you know what? I belong to an HMO. Years ago, the employer that I worked for, I was like 19, and I kept calling the doctor I had to use this one doctor, and they wouldn't let me see the doctor. He kept talking to me over the phone and kept prescribing stuff over the phone, had never seen me yet, kept prescribing stuff.
to the point where it wasn't catching what was wrong, and I wound up becoming hospitalized. I wound up becoming hospitalized, and the doctor still never came to see me. Another doctor saw me. I never, ever saw that person, and I could not get out of that HMO. Arizona locked, had some weird laws back then, 20 years ago. And so after that, when I left that job, I said, no more. I'm buying my own health care.
Right.
I'm gonna write my own ticket, and I'm going to do it my way. And, yeah, I didn't have a big screen TV in my house. I didn't have an expensive car lease in my driveway, but I had health coverage. And if somebody else chooses to get a widescreen TV,
right,
and drive an expensive car and chooses not to buy health insurance, that's not my issue.
That's exactly correct. And I'm, you know, we just kind of had a little experience like that ourselves. My husband recently retired, and he worked for an organization that fully funded health care for its employees, and he retired with 30 years of service. When we went to the retirement meeting, they were talking about what our contribution to the health care would be. We are a family of six, and we were still able to get fabulous health care with a contribution of $300 a month. I was elated. But I was probably in the 1%. The other employees were just heartbroken, disappointed that they actually had to contribute some money to their health care. That they don't put that as a priority. It's like, you know, your health care is a priority, and I'm with you. If I had to pay $1,500 a month for health care for my four sons that are very active, you know, that's my priority.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that we've gotten away from what's priority.
Right. How is Uncle Sam handling tax-wise with all of these people that are deliberately choosing to walk away from their mortgages and not short sale, but they're just letting them foreclose and going and getting other properties instead?
Well,
is it upside down?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. A lot of taxpayers, if it's your primary residence, and you didn't do a whole lot of cash out refinancing, you're on your original acquisition debt, you're probably okay. But if you've done tons of cash out refinancing of the property and didn't use that money to improve the property, or if you have investment property and you did cash out refinance, you're probably in trouble. Over the last year, we've seen several taxpayers who've walked away from property owing Uncle Sam, you know, $30,000, $15,000, $50,000, and they're not able to pay it. They
and
are not
happens?
Able to pay
They'd
it.
They'd have to finance it?
Right. They either have to try to get into some type of collection program with the IRS that includes maybe an installment agreement where you're financing the payment back, to try to do some type of offering compromise where you're saying to IRS, here, will you take this money in lieu of what I totally owe you. It's really out of control. But IRS is very aggressive right now, and they are not just rolling over and playing dead. They really are going to scrutinize and look to see what you have before they make those decisions.
So it's not just a blanket position that they hold. They're doing it on a case-by-case basis.
Absolutely, case-by-case. They've ramped up this year with 17,000 new agents, 6,000 new auditors. They are really in serious business mode.
Yeah, I'm going through an audit, too, right now. It's lovely. And I didn't do anything. But again, the IRS has always treated me like I'm guilty in spite of my innocence. So anytime that I can bring people on, help advocate the individual success when it comes to the IRS, that I'm all for that. What are the rich doing tax-wise that the poor and middle class are not?
The rich do a lot of tax planning. Their whole mindset is, I want to pay the minimal amount of tax possible. And they pretty much find someone that can help them do that. They start with the mindset of, I'm going to lower these taxes. You will find them employing their children, If they have businesses, they will definitely employ their children. They will put themselves in the proper entity structure to make sure they minimize their taxes. They will make sure that everything they do has some nexus to their business so that they can take write-offs, legitimate write-offs, to lower their tax bills. I mean, they're just really smart and sharp when it comes to their tax bill and wanting to get it down as low as possible.
Mm-hmm. I know I've heard some middle-class people make comments like, oh, well, I lease my car because it's a write-off, and they don't even have a business or understand what the ramifications are, and then they go to apply for financing. And I used to see this a lot when I used to do mortgages, and a lease is like renting a car.
Right.
And so you've got the expense, which comes off your income, but you don't have the asset because you're renting it. You don't own it. You don't have the asset to claim to offset that debt. So you almost always end up with a negative net worth when you do things like that.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why when you're working with a client that wants to do tax planning, you have to make certain that you're in good conversation with the client, the taxpayer, to find out what is it that they're trying to do, not just today, but tomorrow. Are you trying to refinance a house? Do you need to have reserves to get your kid in college? All of this becomes really a part of the tax planning conversation to make certain that they are not shooting themselves in the foot by writing off all of their income.
Yeah, that's some really great advice. Now, you've mentioned this a couple times. You talked about email relationships, your tax person picking up the phone and calling you. I think the assumption is that we go to one of these places, these locations that are in strip malls and shopping centers, and we go visit them once a year, and we drop off our W-2s. And our, you know, mortgage statements with our 1098 and stuff, and then we pick it up like a week later and we get a check or we have to owe. But I don't think people really consider that there's a relationship that needs to be built there, and it's not just like going to the corner ice cream store. Oh, while I'm at the ice cream store, I'm going to pop by next door to get my taxes done.
That's correct. You know, if you're like a student or someone that just has a very basic income, very basic W-2, then maybe that's okay. But I would say for the average taxpayer, you really want to have a relationship with the tax person that you're working with, because taxes start January 1 for 2011. They don't start January 1 through April for 2010. And taxpayers don't really understand that. When I work with my taxpayers, they have to agree to meet with me minimum 4 times a year. Because the worst thing that we see as tax professionals is when we know we could have provided our clients with some advice that would have really saved them on their taxes. You just never want to be in that position. So what you want to always do, have a relationship with that tax person. Make sure that you're very comfortable with talking to them. You don't know how many times I'll hear people tell me, Carla, well, he's really smart, but I just hate going to go see that person. Well, then perhaps that's not a good relationship.
So maybe you need a new tax professional.
Yes, you want to be in relationship with the person that's preparing your taxes. You really do, because that person can certainly save you money by knowing what's going on in your world. And I'll give you a prime example using myself. I have 4 sons, and I had my oldest son go off to college last year. And I just know that a lot of people start these 529 plans for their children, saving money for them to go to college. Well, my son has gone to college on a full ride scholarship. If I had money in a 529 plan, he would have to have used the 529 money first and the scholarship second. Having open conversations with your taxpayers, you can give them that type of advice so that they're not wasting their money.
Mm-hmm. I like my brother's philosophy on that. And he says, because I asked him if there was a college fund he started to that I could contribute to for my nephew. And he says, hey, you know what? If he wants to go, he'll do what I did. He'll go get scholarships. If not, he can go to work.
Exactly.
And it sounds like it's almost better.
Yeah.
If they restrict you with the scholarships.
Yeah. You know, I told my kids, my philosophy with my kids was that, you know what? I will pay for half your college. You'll pay for half of your college. If you earn a scholarship, then the money that I set aside to pay for half of your college can be used later on maybe to buy you some property.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'd be surprised. When they realize it's their money, they get very motivated to do above and beyond.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like, well, maybe I didn't want that after all.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been an incredible time sitting here and chatting with you. It just feels like the time we had together has flown by. So is there any final words of wisdom? What would you like to leave our listeners with?
I would just like to leave the listeners with the thought that they do have some control over their taxes. And so, you know, here we are, it's December 14th, and we have a few weeks before the end of the year. Really spend some time getting into your 2010 tax situation now and make a list for your tax professionals. And I think if you really get active with your taxes, that you would find an overall lower tax bill. And just don't be afraid of taxes, really, I guess is what I'd like to for them to understand.
Mm-hmm. Well, to empower them to the next level, where can they get your book?
They can get my book from my website or even on Amazon. My website is Carla with a K, CarlaDennis.com.
Great. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. And for those of you who are driving around and don't have a pencil handy, as always, links to our previous show guests can be found at www.unlockyourwealth.com. I'm Heather Wagenhall. Please stay tuned. We have more in store coming up right after this.
Close more sales. Close more sales. Close more sales. Hi, this is Commander Marty Logan from the Top Gun Sales Academy. Are you the best salesperson you can be today? If not, allow us to help you to outpace your competition, your fellow peers, and recession-proof your business. Visit us at www.thetopgunseminars.com, 480-626-5883. Don't make excuses. Make it happen.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95. at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and what a terrifically scary guest for our Christmas Day. Oh, that's the last thing we wanted to hear about is how scary our finances are going to get in the next year, thanks to good old Uncle Sam. Isn't he fabulous? Oh, my God. So not fabulous. Anyhow, how about some minutes on your money, guys? Yeah, you probably want some of those. Americans are earning more but saving less. Hiba Yosuf, staff writer for CNNMoney.com, says, just in time for the holiday shopping season, Americans earned and spent more money in November than they did during the previous month. However, they also saved less. Personal income rose 0.3% in November, following a downwardly revised 0.4% increase in October. According to data released on Thursday by the Commerce Department, spending by individuals went up 0.1% compared to an upwardly revised 0.7% of a spike in the prior month. Income was expected to increase by only 0.2%, according to the consensus estimate of economists from Briefing.com. The economists expected that spending by individuals would rise 0.5% in November. This report is another indication, according to Tim Quinlan, economic analyst at Wells Fargo, that consumer spending is firming as we finish out the year. Consumer spending accounts for about 2/3 of the nation's economic activity, so signs of improvement bode well for the recovery. Private sector wage and salaries were also up, increasing by $6.6 billion, with a B, as in, boy, that's a lot of money, last month. But the increase wasn't as large as it was in October, when salaries jumped 31.2 billion dollars. While earnings and spending increased, the data showed that Americans did not save as much money in November as they did the prior month. Americans saved $614 billion in November, compared with $622 billion in October, and personal savings as a percentage of disposable income slipped from 5%. And it slipped 0.1% from the month before. They're seasonally adjusted, but the modest decline in savings could show that holiday shopping will be much better than we've seen over the last few years. And as all of you get ready to get in the return lines tomorrow, I dread that, and I am nervous about that personally because my waistline expanded. And so all of the fabulous things that I was given at my previous weight, 20 pounds ago, aren't going to fit. So I either got to work out over the next week or return the stuff and get a bigger size, which I think I'm just going to work out because I don't want to go into that bigger size. I'm kind of in denial. How about the rich are much richer than you and me? Again, the gap between the rich and the middle class is larger than it has ever been due to the bursting of the housing bubble. The richest 1% of U.S. households has a net worth 225 times greater than that of the average American household in 2009, according to an analysis conducted by the Economic Policy Institute, a liberal think tank. That's up from the previous record of 190 times greater, which was set in 2004. The widening gap came even as wealthy households' average net worth tumbled almost 30% to about 14 million between 2007 and 2009. That's the first time that they suffered a decline since the three-year period of 92 to 95. Meanwhile, the average family's net worth plunged 41% to 62,000 from 07 to 09 also. According to the EPI's calculations, the typical person lost more because a bigger percentage of their wealth had been the value of their home, says Heidi Scherholtz, an economist with the EPI. The poorest of the U.S. households have had a negative net worth in every reading dating back to 1962, meaning that their debts and other liabilities outweigh their assets. They fell deeper into the hole in the last 2 years, with their net worth tumbling to a negative $27,000 on average, twice as much as they owed 2 years prior. Net worth is a measure of your total assets, including real estate, bank balances, stock holdings, retirement funds, and everything that you own, minus all of your liabilities like mortgages and other consumer debt. The EPI estimates use figures from the Federal Reserve Survey of Consumer Finances for 2007 estimates and the Fed Flow of Funds report on household wealth for the more recent reading. What's significant about this is that we're not getting it. The poorest of us are not getting it. And it's a shame. I think the middle class has learned a little bit of a lesson because they like their lifestyle. But vision is everything. And the difference between the millionaires and the middle class, or the millionaires and the Dick Shiggers, is vision. And I always go back to this because we get so worried about our external world and what other people think of us, and we forget about what we think of ourselves. And we bury ourselves in this debt. And it's just, at some point, you've got to say enough's enough, and you've got to realize that your current programming with regard to personal finance and money management isn't working. When every day you get up and you dread having to go in, and every day you're getting up to pay somebody else to be wealthy instead of yourself. And it's so unfortunate that we allow our external world to influence what we do and how we make our decisions. And the biggest difference between the millionaires and the rest of us is that they have vision. And they can bypass those luxury good items that completely gouge our income because we're using our active income to buy it. And they know that it's better to spend the money earned from your investments passively than it is from your active income that you generate. And they can continually reinvest in themselves and not touch that principal and put that money that they earn actively to work for them side by side as a little army of money-making individuals. Each dollar is another marching minion in your army to create personal financial freedom. And you can pay somebody else to get rich or pay yourself to get rich. And rich is a good thing because the more money you have, the more things you can do. Because remember, money is a tool, not a goal. So the more tools in your toolbox, the more stuff you can build. How exciting is that? And what we're learning with all of this data and this wealth correction is the haves and have-nots, after all of this loss, are all separating out. A very wise person had said to me, it doesn't matter what the government does and how much they redistribute the wealth. They can tax it as much as they want away from the rich and give it back to the poor. But at the end of the day, if you sort it all out, the rich are going to end up with it again, because why? What's different about them is they have vision and they can delay gratification. And the ditch digger and the middle class can't see past tomorrow or next week or next payday. And that's the biggest difference. So I challenge all of you, as you start planning your new year, and if you're not, that's part of your downfall. But as you start planning your new year, how high are you going to set your sights? When you place your vision beyond today, beyond next week, beyond next pay period, next month, next year, and look 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, what can you envision for yourself? And then our dreams with deadlines key shows us how we get there, step by step, systematically, incrementally, over time. It's slow, potentially arduous, depending upon what life throws at us as we go along the way, though infinitely so much more rewarding than that outfit, that designer outfit that we buy on our credit cards and we're already bored with before the first payment on our credit card is due for it. So much more rewarding. So I challenge you to look forward into the future and see yourself as you can be, as you should be, and with proper planning, as you will be. Okay, so how about McDonald's? I spoke of that at the top of the first hour, saying, what's going on with them? They're contemplating killing the dollar menu. Rising commodity costs are squeezing margins, and the menu's price limit leaves the company no place to go. An article from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this week chronicled the rock and a hard place challenge of restaurant companies right now. On one hand, weak consumer spending and high unemployment have prompted most casual dining and fast food chains to slash prices to keep customers at the table. But on the other hand, inflating agricultural commodity prices means produce, grains, and beef are getting more expensive by the day. That leaves the big question for 2011, whether or not restaurants will pass those prices on to consumers, but if, when, and how much. And the lowest price items on the menu are natural targets since margins already are razor thin in most cases. So the dollar menu might have to find a new name and a new way to entice you to continue to eat there. They're not tossing out the dollar menu just yet, but McDonald's has dramatically noticed the writing on the wall. They're estimating that prices may jump 2 to 3%, and that's a fairly manageable number, but that range is simply an estimate, and the reality could be quite different. Considering that crude oil has just crested at $90 a barrel, pushing gas prices above $3 nationwide for the first time since 2008, and it's not the only commodity soaring. Copper prices are up 30%. Cotton has doubled and are approaching 15-year highs, and everyone knows that precious metals like gold and silver are on a tear. Oh, yeah. And the price of wholesale beef is also up 15% this year. On top of real price inflation outstripping estimates buried in recent Journal Constitution articles is a telling revelation from McDonald's officials that menu prices could rise if the economy improves. In short, the only reason it hasn't hiked prices already to offset rising costs is that spending is seen as too fragile, and McDonald's doesn't want to scare off their current customer base. Once spending firms up, so will their prices. So, there are so many other factors, and McDonald's isn't the only one, not to single them out, but that was just the title of the headline that you had to be paying attention to. But the challenges are here for us. We have to understand what Obama did. When you dump money that you don't have into an economy, you're printing the money, okay? It's not backed by anything because we are not on the gold standard. So whatever our current value is of our currency, and it's measured based on its buying power not only in our country but worldwide because other currencies base their currency fluctuations on our dollar. And by adding more dollars to a system that's already weak and broke, and no plans to fix it anytime soon, it lowers what our current dollar value is. So each dollar buys a little less and a little less. That's inflation. So it's not that prices are rising. but we've put too much money in circulation. And so now our dollar is worthless. So it appears like things are costing more, but not really, because just the dollar doesn't buy as much as it did. And pretty soon, we're going to be on our way to Zimbabwe inflation if we're not careful. And in case you don't know that, they have trillion-dollar notes. A friend of ours gave us some billion-dollar notes. So, hey, I'm a billionaire. But you know what $1 billion Zimbabwe is worth? About $2 here. Yeah, $2. Runaway inflation. You can't continue to print money without value in the economy to support that extra currency. And we can't just keep appropriating funds that we have no way to pay back. And we've got a great guest coming on next year to talk all about the economy and the Federal Reserve and all kinds of cool stuff. Oh, my God, I can't even begin to tell you how fun and exciting and super informative next season is going to be. We have got some top-notch stars. Elena has really kicked butt this year in setting up an incredible season. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you. How about mortgage rates edge down after 5 weeks of gains? Jana Harton, AP real estate writer, says that rates on fixed mortgages dipped after rising for 5 weeks in a row. Still, they remain more than half a point higher than last month and are the highest level since late spring. Freddie Mac said Thursday the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage slipped to 4.8%. It's down only 0.02%, which is a negligible amount. Last month, the rate reached a 40-year low of 4.17%, but it has since been edging higher. The average rate on a 15-year loan as a popular refi option also fell to 4.15%. It's down 0.02%. So it's a negligible drop in the grand scheme of things. If you're refinancing, it's probably going to only matter a couple of bucks here and there. Not a big number. Not like a half a point swing would actually have some impact. But when you're dealing an eighth of a point, it's a negligible amount of money. But, again, when I started in the mortgage industry, a smoking deal on a 30-year fixed-rate loan was 9.5%. So all of this is just cream of the crop total bonus. You got to remember that. Even though these rates have been around for a decade, they're going to go away. We cannot continue to support this in our economy, and our weakening dollar shows it. Back with more Millionaire Minute and the Keys to Riches right after this.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the Keys to Riches right after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone, who are listening to The Keys to Riches on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And this week's key is Become a Voracious Reader. But first...
Tell me.
It's that time again for your Millionaire Minute. This is the time where we crawl into the heads of the top billionaire thinkers and put out 60 seconds of tips, tricks, tools, and information you can incorporate into your life right now to start your day the millionaire way. And as we draw this year to a close, one great aspect that millionaires do versus the middle class is they reflect and look forward. Yes, they do a mental health checkup because, as Stephen Covey says from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, you have to sharpen the saw. It's an important technique, and we have our Unlock Your Wealth Mental Cleanse and Detox Plan. And your mental health cleanse and detox is a 4-step process beginning with a review of the past year. You're going to take an inventory. You're going to take a look at what was good and what worked and what didn't work. We want to take a look and have both of these and celebrate our highs and learn how to address our lows. We also then create the new you. After we purge all of these things from our systems, we then begin to plan and focus on what we are going to do in this next year to create prosperity and abundance in our life. For a detailed plan on how to do this Unlock Your Wealth Cleanse and Mental Detox, please join us for our Unlock Your Wealth Radio To Go show, our very last one for this year, on Tuesdays at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth Radio To Go and give you your morning cup of millionaire motivation so you can start your day the millionaire way. So you can take these tips, tricks, tools, and information and incorporate them into your life simply by tuning in for your 15-minute morning millionaire motivation. And now it's that time for our last key of the week, of the year. No. And it's bittersweet. We're closing out our 7th season on Blog Talk Radio. I'm so excited to say that. I'm so proud of the body of work that we've left behind this year. We have achieved new highs with what we've accomplished this year with both the show and our new membership website, our companion to the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program, to help give you an opportunity when we're not broadcasting to learn more in-depth information about each
key we feature in each tool that we use to give you for your toolbox to create financial wellness and financial freedom for you and your family. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. It's so good to have you, and what a great time to start learning about your personal finance endeavors than with us right here on our Unlock Your Wealth radio broadcast. It's so good to have you. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, the keys to riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, it also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce and eliminate debt, building wealth, saving and investing by building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that 1 week at a time, one key at a time. And we share with you what the key is for the week, and then we give you information and specific strategies to reinforce how to implement that key to make a personal shift in your life. And this week's key is so important: become a voracious reader. I get beat up all the time by regular listeners saying, oh, but every key is your favorite key. And it's because they go together so well. However, this key is quintessential, because without this key, the others aren't going to matter. Because if you don't pick up a piece of information and read it to enrich your mind and your life, you're just not going to get where you want to go. And as I was creating, and these keys just kind of evolved, and for those of you who are joining us for the first time and don't really know the story behind the keys, it all started when I was in mortgage lending. And I was looking for a way to differentiate myself from the other mortgage lenders at the time. The best source of leads are through people who have access to people that are interested in buying homes. So that segment of people that could be great referral sources would be real estate professionals. Because when somebody wants to buy a house, they don't think about the money part first. They think about the house, and they go get a realtor. So I said, how can I get these realtors who have relationships with all of these other people, why would they want to send me their customers? What can I do that's different from all the rest? So I said to them, I don't want your A-paper borrowers. Those are people with perfect credit and lots of money to put down, because they already had their referral relationships established, and I wasn't going to tread on that. I wanted to differentiate myself. So what did I do? I said, give me the people that want to buy a house but aren't qualified, that can't buy today. Give me those people that are getting rejected by your A-paper borrowers. And they're like, what? And I said, if you give me those people, because I would imagine as a real estate professional, you don't just need a closing today, but you need one next week, next month, and next year. And I said, if you give me these people, I will make them whole again. And when they're ready and able to buy, I want to do their loan. That was how I created my home buyers club at the mortgage company I worked for. And each and every Saturday, just like I bring you this show, each and every Saturday, I did free workshops for these people. And I would bring them in, and we would do a workshop on something that was related to mortgages. And then I would counsel each of them individually based on what their specific issues were. How do we address those specific issues? And then I use the classes that I taught as a way to reinforce that message and give them hope. And by seeing other people in there that were in similar circumstances, gave them a sense of, I'm not alone. There are other people that don't know how to qualify for a home loan or have made a mistake financially and are trying to recover too.
And each and every week, I taught them these concepts. And the more I explored individually with people and I was identifying their issues, it's not like people don't know to spend less than what they make. It's not a mystery. I don't know anything that's new about money management in that respect. Spend less than you make. But yet, we all know that, but nobody does that. And I worked really hard to figure out why. And when I started noticing these common threads between the people that came to this home buyers club and how I could get some qualified and some would just never qualify, and it's not like they didn't know, and it's not like they didn't take the class, and it's not like they didn't pay attention. But sometimes programming and belief systems are so ingrained that it takes a significant emotional event to change those belief systems. And there's always this big debate when it comes to raising kids about DNA versus environment. And what's stronger? Are you just a bad seed if you got the wrong DNA? Or does your environment have everything to do with how you grow up and turn out? Or perhaps both of those could throw you for a loop. Well, as I drew my consistencies and similarities and what people knew and what people didn't know, a common thread was this week's key. Not only did these people not know how to manage their money, or they thought they knew everything they needed to know about managing money. And the enemy of learning, by the way, is knowing. When you think you know it all, you have stopped the learning process. But the common thread is, regardless of how bad it was, regardless of what they knew or didn't know or thought they knew, not one of them ever thought to read how to change. They just personally felt doomed. And in addition to them not being willing to read about personal finance, because let's face it, unless you have a really creative writer and a humorist, it's kind of dry if it's not your vibe. I love reading about money. So for me, it has all of the excitement of an action-adventure novel. But for others, not so much. And that's okay. But raising your level of awareness, reading in and of itself, does wonderful things for you. But the one common thread that not one of these people exhibited was a penchant for reading. Reading anything, let alone reading about how to improve their personal situation. Not a personal development book, not a fictional book that told a great story, not a scandalous gossip magazine. Nothing. Not one thing. And that's why I made sure that this was a key. And not just any key. But I like it as the final key in our financial wellness series, because this key can tie it all together, and with this key, we can fundamentally change ourselves with one article at a time, one chapter at a time, one book at a time, whether or not we're reading about money or personal finance. And we're going to take a real quick break right now. And when we come back, blah, 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 when we come back, I will explain to you why that is. You are listening to The Keys to Riches and Become a Voracious Reader right here on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, saying stay tuned for more right after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years, is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation, 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
There is a massive tax storm coming next year. Dozens of new taxes, rules, regulations, fees, and penalties are arriving. Even the storefront tax preparers are being monitored by the IRS. What can you do? Go directly to www.cohesivetax.com and sign up now for a free strategic tax plan, and you can survive the tax hurricane. That's www.cohesivetax.com.
This is John Nowicki with LCM Capital Management, where we are changing the way the world invests. What we do is create financial plans tailored to each individual's risk parameters and retirement goals while eliminating all the additional costs and hidden fees that are associated with money management. You can contact me, John Nowicki, at LCM Capital Management at 312-705-3013. And look forward to a happy, healthy retirement with low costs and low fees.
Have you seen commercials for agencies that want to charge you a fee to settle your debt? Did you wonder if you could trust them? My name is Kenny Goldie, and I'm here to tell you you don't need to pay anyone to settle your credit card debt. You can call your bank directly and do it yourself for free. How do I know? I did it. I reduced my own credit card debt from over $200,000 to zero, and I want to tell you how in my book, The Do-It-Yourself Bailout. Visit SettleYourCreditCards.com. My readers have settled nearly $1 million in credit card debt by themselves, no agencies, no fees, and you can too. Go to SettleYourCreditCards.com and read The Do-It-Yourself Bailout.
Hi, my name is Jim Vilwalk. I'm the founder of Job Doctors International. We just released today our new book, Jobpreneurship 101, which is how to get a job when there are none. If you or someone you know needs a job, check out jobdoctorsinternational.com or call 888-420-6861. That's jobdoctorsinternational.com. When you need a job, we can help.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerU.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhals on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Become a Voracious Reader from the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series on Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity. And we were chatting about the value of reading. And I'm going to tell you why reading is so vital for you as individuals. I'm going to refer to one of the presuppositions in neurolinguistic programming. And for those of you who are regular listeners, you know I am a big fan, aficionado, if you will, of NLP. And one of the presuppositions of neurolinguistic programming is specifically this: communication is 100% my responsibility, not to get my point across, but to elicit the right result. Why am I sharing that with you? Because if we don't have the words in our vocabulary to express ourselves, and in a manner that achieves the outcomes that we desire, we will always get what we've always gotten. It's like that definition of insanity. If you do the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. If all you do in your communications with other people is try to express yourself so they get it, and you say, oh my gosh, they don't get it. Am I not speaking clearly? Do they not? Why don't they understand me? How come they don't get it? It's because you're focused on your side, getting your point across. But just because you get your point across and you express yourself does not mean you're going to get the results you're looking for. And I remember back to my childhood, and I think about this every time my stepson and I chat, because he argues with his mother. And I used to do this. So this is why I have practical experience to be able to guide this young man. And he always says, but she's wrong. And I got to show her that she's wrong, because I'm right. And nobody, especially a parent hearing it from their child, wants to be told that they're wrong. And I used to have to drill this home to my mother all the time. You're wrong, you're wrong, I'm smarter than you. And all you do when you try to get your point across is you pick up a shovel and you dig a very deep hole, especially if you're a kid. Because every time he tries to prove his point, it gets him in trouble. And that's what it did with me. And I told him, I said, hey, you are not making progress with your side of you. What is it that you want to accomplish by proving somebody wrong? To be right? But what does that get you? It's not getting him the recognition or the accolades that he's looking for being smart, articulate, intelligent, whatever. All it's doing is burying him in trouble. And I know this because I'm a lefty, and I think it's a lefty thing, because him and I connect on so many levels because we're both left-handed, so we think in a different manner than the righties. And I used to always have to be right, too, but that doesn't get you where you want to go. Effective communication is creating the outcome that you desire. So when you get rid of this, it's about me and my point, and figure out what do I need to say to this person to elicit the right result, you're like so far ahead of the game. You're far ahead of everybody else playing the game. And few people look in that manner. The people that do are the millionaires, not the middle class, because they have the vision to look at outcome, not the immediate gratification of being right, but the outcome of what it is that they desire. They can look past being right and satisfying their own ego to figure out what's down the road. When you read great writing, and I don't care what it is, fiction, nonfiction, personal development, action adventure, I'm a mystery thriller kind of reader. It doesn't matter. But because these people are skilled, talented writers, they craft communication that when you can see it come together in someone else, you can see what works and what doesn't work and be like, oh, well, that person was trying to get their point across, but it didn't elicit the right result, or vice versa. This person didn't bother proving their point. They just wanted to get to their goal, and they did. And by reading great writing, especially the classics and stuff, gives you the tools that you need to elicit the right result. And when you read great writing, it automatically elevates your level of communication because it gives you words and sentences and phrases and thoughts that you didn't have before. And you take it in by reading it. When you use it again in communication, that creates understanding. And when you have understanding, your mind entirely expands. Not just a part of your mind, but your whole mind. And the more neurological pathways you can create through reading great writing will take you to the next level. It'll give you the tools that you need, and it creates new patterns for solving life's problems in every area, not just finance, but interpersonal communication. When you can elevate your level of communication, you bring up those around you, and if they don't come up, that's fine, because that level of communication is going to bring you to the next level of people that you need to meet. And when you can communicate effectively and reach those people, so too you shall rise. I always try to surround myself with people that are smarter than me, richer than me, better looking than me, because it pushes me to get to my personal best. And the one thing that has taken me there every time, without fail, is my ability to communicate. And I know things, and I have words and resources and thought processes as a result of that reading. And that's why you need to utilize this key and increase your ability to communicate effectively, because it takes you where you want to go. Because it all starts with relationships. Money doesn't happen until you meet with someone and create something. But if you can't communicate with that person, there's no way they can say yes to your opportunity. Bottom line. So for this week's Nuts and Bolts, our last one for this season and this year as we wrap it up, is our key statement is, in order to improve my ability to communicate more effectively, I must read great writing to give me the foundation and words to use to express myself more effectively and elevate the outcomes I have in my life. Our key affirmation is, I am a voracious reader. And next week we will learn all about affirmations. And our key action item is to find one new book to start reading today. I don't care what it is, a comic book, a magazine, a real book. It doesn't matter if you only get past the dedication and the table of contents. Tomorrow, read a couple more pages, and before you know it, you'll build momentum, but you must stimulate your mind each and every day. Because when your mind grows, so too will everything you desire in your life. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember to tune in to our Unlock Your Wealth Radio To Go Tuesday mornings at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you'll get your morning cup of millionaire motivation.
and it will be the full mental health cleanse and detox plan to get you ready for the new year. Next week's key, acceptance and affirmation. We start all over. We also have super reality star Dean Wagner joining us from the hit TV show Downsized, talking about you and your mortgages. And thank you again for joining us. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And thank you so much for choosing to start your day the millionaire way. Finally, financial freedom can be yours at www.unlockyourwealth.com. I'm Heather Wagenhals, your purveyor of prosperity, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday. And here's to your financial independence. Go out and make it a millionaire day.